Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On air and on the road, Jake Gruden is driven by the Tedbert Automotive Group, Tedbert Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Tedbert Chantilly Lincoln, and Tedbert Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Tedbert for Life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at Tedbert.com.
Jay, it's only been a month. Jaden Daniels has played very well. I saw you tweet something to the effect yesterday that it's official. The kid is good. Can we write it in Sharpie that they got their guy, that they got their franchise quarterback, or should we not rush to judgment?
I think you write it in Sharpie, man. This guy in four games has been pretty impressive. He sees the field well. He escapes. He can run. He can throw. Yeah, I mean, he does it all right. He's got great poise, too, is what I like the best about him. He doesn't get rattled. You know, I can tell. Sometimes you can see quarterbacks' eyeballs through their face mask. They're so big and scared. But this guy is he's a surgeon back there. He's got confidence and plays a lot of poise, and he's accurate and fun to watch, man. He's fun to watch.
What did you make of the response to the first negative play it seems like they've had in a month, right? The trying to give Terry a shot, who I don't think, you know, I think kind of lost his footing, wasn't his best throw, sails, guy makes a great play for an interception. And for me, I'm going, okay, that was bound to happen, good, bad, or indifferent. You're going to have something negative occur in this league where everybody gets paid to play. What's the response? And then it was unbelievable. What did you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, that's just the mental toughness part of it that has to show up throughout the season. You know, it's not always going to be perfect. You're going to have your bad plays, your bad quarters, your bad throws, whatever. But how you respond is what is the most important. And he responded in a big-time way. And they responded again when Arizona went down and scored, cut up to 2 touchdowns. They went right down the field and scored again. So their response has been outstanding the last 3 weeks. They, they don't blink, and they stick with the plan. I think Cliff has done a great job of not forcing too many throws down their throats. They still mix it up with the runs and some of the design quarterback runs, and then obviously the quick game and some play passes. And he's keeping the defense on their heels, that's for sure.
Jay, they've punted 3 times in 4 games, once in the last three
Tress
games.
Tress Wade's got the easiest job in America, doesn't he?
He does. I mean, poor guy's got a hold every now and then. But
he can play more ping pong now. I mean, I'm telling you what.
He didn't miss any ping pong games over the years. He's pretty good at it, as you know. But I mean, they have scored on 24 drives, and they have 19 incompletions offensively. What do you make just overall of what Kingsbury's doing, and how do you summarize for us like what he's doing so well?
Well, I think it's just a combination of things. It's not one thing. He's got a great game plan together. He's mixing in the run and pass, the inside zone, and not just the inside zone, but he does a lot of different run concepts with pulling guards and, you know, pinning in defensive ends and pulling the tackles and doing a lot of different things. And then the zone reads and the RPOs and all that stuff off of them, and then the play pass. So he's doing a good job of keeping the defense off balance. Now the offense has done a great job of staying in positive down and distance, staying ahead of the chain. So they're not forcing third and long, and they're playing ahead the last 3 weeks. So they're not coming from behind. They're not one dimensional. When Cliff or any good offensive play caller has every play at his disposal on a drive, it's fun to call plays. You know, when you have to delete like three quarters of your playbook because you're one dimensional, it's not that fun. But he's done a great job of keeping teams off balance. You look at Arizona, what they try to do. Their game plan is a rush eight, or a drop eight and only rush three guys. They did it like 12 times. And Jay just stood back there like a statue and just had great poise and just waited for guys to uncover and drop dimes. So, you know, and then they tried to rush five and he scrambled outside and threw a guy in the flat. I mean, so I don't know what you do as a defensive coordinator against this guy. Teams are having troubles trying to figure it out.
Jay Gruden with us here. On Grant and Danny, you mentioned this offense. I want to get to the offensive line here, Jay. I think Sam Cosmi's good. I think he'd play and start for most teams in this league. I'd probably say the same about Tyler Biadasz. I'm a fan of his. I think he's probably, you know, middle of the pack, you know, maybe upper half of the league center. The other guys, I don't know that they'd be day one starters on most offensive lines. Yet as a group, I feel like they're playing really well together. What are you seeing from that O-line?
Yeah, I've been impressed with the rookie. I think Brandon Coleman's done some good things in a running game and has held his own in the passing game. You know, like I said before, they've done a good job of changing his launch spot so he's not sitting taking five-step drops and waiting for high crossers and deep daggers and all that stuff. They're moving around. They're changing up the launch spot so the linemen are having some fun. Cosmi's doing a good job at right guard. I love Tyler. You know, he did good at Dallas last year. And obviously, Andrew Weiler's a veteran guy who knows how to play. And they're letting these guys come off the line of scrimmage and be physical. And they're not asking them to pass protect every time. I think the addition of Zach Ertz and obviously John Bates at tight end and the rookie tight end, they've got now a physical presence at tight end, which helps the running game, which they didn't have last year. It makes a huge difference.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. One thing I noticed yesterday more so than in the Cincinnati game, like in the Cincinnati game, whether it was the Terry deep shot or the touchdown in the corner, some incredibly low percentage generally throws that Daniels was able to drop into the bucket. And he's second in the NFL in completion percentage over expected this year. But they have the highest expected completion percentage of 73%. And when I watch some of these other teams, you know, whether it's the Bears with Caleb Williams or whatever, it's not as easy. Like, a lot of stuff around the line of scrimmage. I joke about the horizontal raid, but the expected completion percentage for Daniels this year is 73%. Now, he's actually at 82 because he's plus 9%. But I guess my question is, that's a scheme thing, right? That's a Cliff thing. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, they do have a lot of, bubble screens built into the running game, which are easy completions. James is going to get 7 or 8 of those a game. Cliff's going to dial them up, a little quick game or flats or release screens or bubble screens or, you know, Brian Robinson on a swing pass or Eckler, whoever it is, or McNichols. You know, he's going to get 7 or 8 of those. He's going to be 8 for 8. And then the rest of them, he's going to have to make good decisions with the football. You know, Cliff did try to get after their defense with some double posts, with some high cross, some deep throws, but Jaden did some good things with making the right decision, just kicking out to the flat or finding a completion somewhere else. So I think his decision-making has been good is why his completion percentage is so high. He's not forcing the ball. The only ball he tried to force was the interception of Terry, you know, and that wasn't a terrible. He just sailed it a little bit. So his decision-making has been on point. He's keeping the chains moving, and Cliff's calling a good game. It's a good combination to have.
Jay, talking about Cliff, what's that like going back to a place that you've coached before? I know everybody likes to tell you it's not a big deal. I know this, when I saw a girl that I dated 15 years ago, I sucked in my gut and tried to pretend that I was confident. You know what I mean? Like, it's human nature, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You want to go back and, prove that you are a capable coach. You know, when you get fired, it's no fun, and people doubt your ability to coach the game. Sometimes you need a second opportunity. Maybe I could get one day. I doubt it, but who knows? But it's always good to go back to a place that you were in and kick their ass. That's for sure. I know Cliff is excited about it, and he did some good things at Arizona, but over the long haul, he didn't do a good enough job, so he let go. But now he's making his mark back again. He'll probably be head coach next year or the year after.
Jay, what do you make of the receiving core down the depth chart outside of McLaurin? Now, there was so much made all offseason about they don't have enough talent, they don't have enough weapons, and they got an offense that can't be stopped right now. Zacchaeus went ham yesterday. Noah Brown's been good. We had Luke McCaffrey on the show a couple hours ago. He doesn't get a lot of targets, but he seems to be open a lot and doesn't drop the ball. What have you thought of their wide receiver group?
Now, they've been steady. You know, they've made plays when they have to. You mentioned number 14. I still don't know how to pronounce his name.
You could go with OZ.
OZ.
People that don't know how to say his name always say OZ.
Yeah, the ex-Eagle. He did some good things. And obviously Noah Brown's a steady guy. He's got good hands. He's a physical guy. He's a presence in the running game. He's not going to drop the ball. You know, he's not a speed burt merchant, but he can get open. And I think Luke McCaffrey's finding his way. He's making some plays when he has to. So, obviously, Terry's a big guy, and obviously Zach Ertz is one of his favorite targets. The backside of the backfield do some good things, but the key is Jaden. You know, I think he just takes what the defense gives him. Now, eventually, some teams are going to challenge these guys to play some tighter man-to-man with a spy on the quarterback, and these guys are going to have to separate somehow, some way, but they're going to play zones and loosen up their coverages and play spot-drop zones. Jaden's got to find the short guy, the intermediate guys, and he's done that so far. So the key test will be when they play a good defense with some corners that can rush a passer with four and see who can separate other than Terry.
Yeah, to that point, McCaffrey told us they really have seen very little man at all. And we were asking about he's one of the top guys in terms of separation percentage in the league. And he basically said, look, I'm just kind of finding spots to throttle it down or whatever. But he said, we really haven't played man. I just don't think they're going to see that much man. A, you barely see it in the league. I don't know what the percentage is generally. You'd probably know better than I would on how much man you even see. But also, it seems like teams are petrified to turn their back to Daniels.
Yeah, that's why I said you have to play the spy on a quarterback. And Arizona played man, and one time they rushed three, had a spy on the quarterback, tried to play a little two-man, and that didn't work out. You know, and you can play, you can rush four, but the problem with when you rush four and have a spy on a quarterback, you lose that middle field player that helps with all the crossing routes and all that. So that's a problem for defenses as well. So, you know, the teams are in a bind, man. They're in a bind with how they're going to defend this guy. But eventually, I would imagine somebody's going to be able to get home with four and play some man-to-man with a spy on them. But I don't know. Who knows? Maybe they won't. You're right, because Dallas really doesn't have the ability to do that. I don't think Philly does. You know, and I don't think the Giants do. They don't have the corners to do it either. They play them next, they play them five more times. So I don't think they'll see much, man, to your point.
Is this why everyone's looking for the quarterback who can run?
Well, you got the combination.
Well, totally. I mean, if you can't throw it too.
Yeah, but I'm saying,
like, nobody's looking for Derek Carr anymore, right? I mean, the idea is you need – everyone's looking for, like, Josh Allen, so to speak. And I know there's only a couple of those guys. But my point is this why –
Yeah, because the coverages you see are limited. You don't see any two-man. You don't see any match coverage. You know, you see a lot of different coverage with a quarterback that can't really move. It's difficult. A ton of blitzes, for God's sakes. If you got to pick up blitzes, like our blitz period used to be like forever, you know, trying to pick up all these damn blitzes in practice because, you know, Kirk wasn't much of a runner and you had to pick him up. But with a runner, you know, a lot of those blitzes, they're afraid to do because if he breaks contain like he will, there's nobody there. So it's scary. Defensive coordinators, like I said before, I think the first week, I think you'll see a lot of spot drop zones, some drop eight, some four-man rushes with I try to get as many eyeballs on the quarterback as they can, and hopefully he makes mistakes and tries to force it into coverage.
Jay, for the non-Jaden Daniels part of the running game, what are you seeing that's so effective? The last couple of OCs here, Bieniemy never did really want to run the ball. Scott Turner loved running it for 2.2 yards a carry, numbers approximate. It looks like there's gaps and places to go, and it just seems that everybody's got momentum. Doesn't matter who they hand the ball off to, they're able to find some yardage there. What are you seeing in this run game that's making it so good?
Well, I told you the most important thing, they added tight end presence. So I don't think the guys before Cliff had tight ends that could hold the point of attack, block the backside, be physical with the double teams, helping tackles and do all the things necessary tight ends need to do in running games. Zach Ertz has done that in his career. John Bates is very good at it. And obviously the rookies file solid at it. So that helps. You have a physical offensive line. And I like the way he's running the ball. He's doing a lot of different ways. He's running, spread them out, running inside zones. He's running outside zones. He's running some pin and pull plays, which are good. He's changing it up and doing a good job. And the linemen are pretty effective. They're not great pullers, but they're effective enough and they're getting out there. But the inside zones are getting a lot of movement, and Brian Robinson has great vision. He's finding holes, and even this Jeremy McNichols guy, he bounced one out for a 27-yard touchdown. I have no idea where the defense was, but, you know, they're hitting different gaps, and they're making defenses cover every blade of grass. And if they settle down and bring everybody up and run, he'll just fire out a bubble screen to Terry McLaurin for a unit 12. So it's very difficult to defend because Cliff is making him defend every blade of grass.
So now that we've seen four games with so much progression from week one to week four, I remember week one, I was not thrilled. I think a lot of fans were pretty ticked off as well. Just would look pretty vanilla, pretty, you know, like just let's not screw anything up and let Jaden Daniels kind of play Superman for almost 3.5 quarters. And they weren't able to do much against Tampa Bay in week one. Since then, it's been a steady build into this juggernaut. Now that you look back at the long road, what about that plan maybe is more crystallized? Maybe it makes more sense now that we have a month of data going back from before the first game to right now?
Well, one is they've been able to establish the run, and they've been playing with the lead. Like I said, the whole playbook is open. They're not forcing the one-dimensional calls. They're not forced to throw in a 12-yard hook route on 3rd and 10 or, you know, waiting for people to uncover and all that stuff. So they've been ahead of the chains, and they've been able to run in different personnel groups, two tight end sets, one tight end set. And they're hitting different areas of the field, inside zone. They can run right. They can run left. They're doing a lot of good things in that regard. But the key is staying ahead of the chains. That's why New Orleans, the first two games, they were unstoppable because, hell, they had 2nd and 2, 1st and 10, 2nd and 2, 1st and 10. And they were just gutting people. Now they are forced to throw the ball. They're not as effective. But, you know, I just think they're doing a great job on 1st, 2nd down, which is critical in pro football nowadays.
Jay Gruden is with us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Let's broaden this out to some other teams around the NFL. We've asked you a couple times early this season about Caleb Williams. The Bears got a defense-led 24-18 win over the Rams. Williams, though, at least the line was better, 17 of 23 for a 157, touchdown, no picks. Was the performance kind of with the line like better than he had been?
Yeah, they got the win. He didn't turn the ball over too much. They still struggle a little bit, but you know, Swift had a big hit in the running game, which helps out a lot, and they got some turnovers, defense, and the punter, their punter. Holy, who's this punter for Chicago? Good God.
Oh, they just drafted him. Yeah, that kid was like a mid-round pick.
To the 2, to the 1. Yeah, so poor Rams had to drive 98 yards every time, and Chicago had great field position throughout the game, and they got away with a victory. But Caleb is looking better. He's making some better throws, but he's still, in my mind, in the first four games, not even close to what Jaden's doing.
Houston won this weekend, Jay, but looked a little shaky doing so. They lost the week before, didn't play very well. Where are you at on the Texans?
I like the Texans. I think they have great coaching staff, and obviously C.J. Stroud's ice water in his veins, very similar approach to the game as Jaden Daniels. Both of them see the field very well. They don't get rattled at all, and C.J. got the 2-minute drive down there and was very patient, just took what the defense gave him and got the last touchdown. But, you know, the Jaguars and the Texans have always played tough games, and it's very similar. A lot of these division rivals are going to play tight games despite what you think the records are or what the score should be. There's a lot of pride in these locker rooms, and they're going to play hard, and CJ just came out with another gritty victory like he always does.
How are the Chiefs, who are 4-0, despite, you know, not being really good offensively at all? Now they've lost their only true weapon in Rice with Pacheco already sidelined. Kelsey's been very, very pedestrian. Mahomes is off to arguably the worst start of his career. I mean, he is, I think, 2nd in the NFL in turnover-worthy plays right now. How are they going to continue to score and move the ball?
I don't know. It's going to be tough. You know, Patrick can only do so much. They got to have somebody that can uncover. Xavier Worthy had a big hit last week, but they got to find somebody else. Rashee Rice does a lot more than people think as far as his physicality to the game that he brings on the shallow crosses. He catch them and split them and all that stuff. I don't know where they're going to find a guy for that. Kelsey will have to do a lot of that. He's got to get in better shape, but I imagine he'll be the go-to guy and somebody else have to emerge. I don't know who that will be, but it's tough on Pat. I don't care how good you are at quarterback. You got to have somebody that can separate. Right now they don't have anybody, so it'll be a struggle. But Spags, we'll keep them in games because they play great defense, and Andy Reid will call a great game and figure out ways to get somebody wide open for a touchdown, and they'll probably win close games until they get some weapons back.
Do you get the sense with Kelce that it is a little bit of just getting him back in game shape?
Yeah, I think he's older, you know, and he's getting slowing down a little bit, but he's still got a great feel for the game. He can find holes in zones now. As far as man-to-man separation, he's probably not quite as good as he used to be, but I'm sure he can do a little bit of that. But, you know, they're going to put a couple eyeballs on him at all times now that he's the only weapon, so it'll be a little bit tougher on him moving forward. But, you know, I think when it's all said and done, as the season wears on, he'll make more and more plays and be more of a force. But in the meantime, they got to find somebody else. I don't know who that's going to be.
Speaking of weapons coming back, Jay, I'm still an Eagles believer. Doesn't look real good right now this minute as they got smacked around this weekend and have kind of been struggling. But no Devontae Smith, no Lane Johnson, no A.J. Brown. They got a bye week here now. I feel like when they do get some of these guys back, they're still going to be a force to be reckoned with in this division and the conference. But it's getting harder to prove that. Your thoughts on the Eagles?
Yeah, you know, they're classic underachievers right now. They're not playing as good as their talent level suggests they should. Obviously, losing the two key weapons hurts a lot against Tampa Bay, those two wideouts you mentioned, and Lane. If they get those guys back, they'll be fine on offense. I'm worried about their defense. Mm-hmm. They don't get any pass rush. Huff's not getting anything. Jalen Carter's not playing like a Pro Bowl defensive three technique should be. And they're giving up a lot of big plays. And, you know, they don't rush the passer very well. They don't blitz very much. Vic Fangio's been very conservative in his approach because I think he's afraid of the corners. Darius Slay's getting a little bit older. And the rookie, Quinyon Mitchell, is struggling a lot. So they got problems on defense. So when they get their guys back on offense, they got to go back to the pound-it type of offense, control the clock, keep their defense fresh, and they'll be fine.
Mitchell, a first-round pick. Oh, by the way. Jay, before we let you go, Monday Night Football, we got a double dip tonight. I'm sure you'll be locking in on both games. Titans, Dolphins, Miami's going to Tyler Huntley at quarterback, so this will be their third starting QB in 3 weeks. And then Seattle, Detroit. The Seahawks have a chance to get to 4-0. Really would be their first quality win, frankly. Detroit hosting them tonight at 8:15 in the second game. What do you like this evening?
I like Detroit. I think Seattle's got four defensive linemen out. I think Detroit runs the ball and gets back to their pounded, ground and pound type ways that Dan Campbell likes. So I think they'll get the victory. Then I think Tennessee will come in and make play good. I think they'll get back to Pollard and get him the rock, and Spears will get going. And Bill Callahan will have some nice, cool design runs. I don't know if they'll work or not, but he'll try. But they got to keep Will Levis, from hurting them. He's got to throw incompletions and not turn the ball over. And I think Tennessee will get the win. Miami's, they should be better, you know, but Huntley's, it is a tough call for a quarterback just coming off the couch to start a game on Monday Night Football. I know he's played a lot. He's an effective guy. But I think Tennessee's defense is pretty damn good. They had a great defensive tackle. They got a great corner, a couple good linebackers. So I think Tennessee gets it done.
Jay, thank you as always, man. We'll talk to you next Monday, hopefully, about a 4-1 football team. How cool would that be?
That'd be awesome, man. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Thank you. There's Jay Gruden with us on Grant and Danny every single Monday at 5 o'clock.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Tedbert Automotive Group, Tedbert Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Tedbert Chantilly Lincoln, and Tedbert Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Tedbert for Life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at Tedbert.com.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.